All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Wanna be the greatest of all time. Yeah, yeah. Wanna be the greatest of all time. Yeah, yeah. Wanna be the greatest of all time. The greatest. Yeah.
Yo, 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 what up, y'all? Y'all know what it is. It's another one, y'all. Sparking conversation. And, yo, I just like to thank each and every one of y'all for joining us each and every week, man. Every Tuesday at 8 p.m., we jump on here, man, and we chop it up, man, me and the crew. And we just go through a few things, you know what I mean? Like, we go over the things that happen throughout the week that be crazy. Some stuff be serious. Some things be important. A lot of times, even when they serious, we don't take it serious. So y'all know how I do. If y'all coming to check us out, y'all just know that. You know, we may make light of things that people take serious, but I mean, that's just how life is. You know what I mean? Everybody ain't got to be serious because you are, you know, but I will say this tonight. We got sort of, it is a serious topic that we're going to talk about a little bit. We got a special guest that's going to join me and the crew tonight. We got Coach Erica in the building and I'm going to bring her on in a little bit with the rest of the crew and we're going to chop it up with her. She got this dope movie that's coming out. Well, it was a movie that's being adapted off of one of her best-selling books that she wrote that dropped in 2016, man. She decided to turn that into a movie. So we're going to talk about that for a little bit tonight, right? And just try to get into the depths of it, right? Like, what was the inspiration behind it? And, you know, what kind of things that she went through in production, being that, you know, I'm in production myself. So it's always good to chop it up with fellow visionaries, right? Let's figure out like what was their method and how they getting through, you know what I'm saying? But I would like to say to all the people that download the audio version of this podcast, I definitely appreciate y'all, man. Word up. I can't thank y'all enough because y'all helping the boy rank, man. And it's so dope because when I first got into this, man, as I was doing the research, I didn't know about all these little intricate parts about having a podcast. You know, I thought it was all about having the perfect lighting, cameras, room, having all this aesthetics and making it look like this and having cameras switch and all that. When at the end of the day, people only putting up reels and shorts anyway. That's what's helping people go look at the long view. And then when they get there, it's about the substance. It's like, yo, you can have all the tricks and all that other stuff, but do you got the substance? Like, how did you build it up? So it's definitely a blessing to know that people are actually just like saying to themselves, yo, let me go download this and just listen to what they're saying, you know? They're not watching us, they listening. So double salute to y'all, man, for real. Okay, along with that, just all the people that be checking out the links that in the description of these videos, thank y'all, man, because that's super dope that y'all going out there checking out all the people that kind of rock with the show already. And as we continue to grow, I'm sure that more people will start rocking with the team and we'll continue to grow in that way as well. You know what I mean? So thank y'all again. All right. So tonight. All right. So before we get into tonight, y'all, I just want to say, you know, it's a lot of things that's been going on in the week. Y'all know we normally talk about what the trends of the week is. We're going to switch it up a little bit. But I just want to say, man, this whole thing about the presidential race and the presidential debate, I know we don't really talk politics on Sparking Conversation, but what I really want to do is I just want to take the time for people to kind of understand, like, if y'all not paying attention to what's going on, y'all not paying attention to what BRICS is doing, you know, if y'all not paying attention to how the political climate is, if y'all not paying attention to just the way things are being set up right now, I think that you're just doing yourself a disservice, man. A lot of these politicians, especially the ones that's running for Republican, they seem to have this thing that they're doing. Like, they're all pushing this agenda, and they're not being specific when it comes to us. but it looks like basis of their agenda is based around us. It's really weird. It's almost like that thing where it's like, kind of reminds me of just like your property, so to speak. It's like, how can I have my property make them feel like they're not my property, but still treat them like that? That's the way I'm feeling when it comes to everything that's going on right now in this whole climate. Because, yo, listen, y'all, they playing with us out here. And the one thing that we're not doing is sticking together still. Like, we're still not doing it, but they're still showing us what they're doing to us and why they're doing it to us and how it's happening. And we're still not getting the point, y'all. Like, listen, y'all, it's so many different things we need to pay attention to. They got this new fake, pandemic that's about to come back again, and they predicting and all this other corny shit. Like, I don't know how they could predict that they about to shut it down, like, unless they already had plans to, right? But then, you know, for the folks that's out here that really be complaining about things that's going on without paying attention and really standing up, like, in some type of way, even if it's just you and your little small crew of people, you know what I'm saying? Figure some shit out, man. I mean, because they telling us, they showing us. I know last week we talked about that, y'all. But I guess I digress. I just wanted to make sure we threw that out there a little bit, because I ain't going to really talk about that this week. I'm sure it's going to be trending for a while, but we're not going to talk about that today. Today, we're going to talk about something that is kind of like familiar with all of us, especially in our demographic. We're going to talk a little bit about domestic violence today. We know Domestic Violence Awareness Month is coming. And we also know they share the same month with Breast Cancer Awareness, right? So it's coming. So it's dope that we're going to have this conversation. We know that today's statistics is a little bit different when it comes to domestic violence. But we're going to bring our guest on, Coach Erica. I don't know why I was going to call her Coach K, but Coach Erica. She's going to come on and we're going to chop it up with her. And we're going to make some shape, man. You know what I'm saying? So let me see who I got in the building. Let me get the crew in here. C-Double, what up, y'all? All right. Mika, what up, y'all? Yeah. I think you're mute.
What? Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. What up, y'all? Coach, what's going on, y'all? Oh,
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
All right. Well, I just want to say, yo, before we get started, hold on. Coach E, you on your laptop or you on your phone?
I'm on my laptop.
Oh, all right, bet, because I was going to ask you what type of phone you got, just in case you need to plug up real quick.
Shut up. Don't start.
What happened?
Yeah, I just said, like, look, I was just going to ask.
You just want to start shit, y'all.
Yeah. I was just going to ask because you know that most people.
Let's get into the topic.
Who got iPhones, they should be dying like in 10 seconds. So I'm trying to make sure if you have.
I got one. An iPhone. It's not. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. You're joining me. Well,
thank you.
You're joining me blacking out, too.
I just, is that an Android user? Come on.
Hey, yes, it is. Hey, yes, it is.
Wait. Just FaceTime me. Oh, you can't.
We could Google Meet though. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got Google.
I don't like it on my phone. I don't like the way it on my phone.
Now you're talking about what you don't like. But all I'm saying is that iPhone, but I know you be looking for a charger though.
I always got one. Don't do that now. Hold on. I got two extras. It's one in the house and it's always one in the car and it's another one in the bag. I always got a charger.
All right, so listen, to all the people that's watching right now, this is just helps me prove another point when it comes to iPhone users. Not only do they have to have a charger, they got to have more than one in order to survive, y'all. Wow. So double salute to all the Android users out there that don't need to go through all that.
All right, okay, go ahead and lose that Samsung Galaxy or whatever, see if you can find it. I'm gonna find my iPhone and they going to jail. What you gonna do?
Oh, God, y'all.
Listen. I get a whole location where my phone at. What's your phone do?
Nothing. No, eat your ass.
Listen, no, it ain't. I'm letting y'all get that off because y'all know everything that y'all got. Nope. We know everything that iPhone got, Android got for free. Y'all paying for all that over there. Stop playing.
I'm not paying for shit.
What we paying for? Safety.
Look, man, y'all know that the longer y'all keep your phone charged in, the better it works. That's all.
And you know that right now, if I get lost, all they gotta do is find my phone, and they'll find me. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, that's what you're
doing. Well, y'all got the FBI, y'all phone, yo. It's all love, yo. All right, so what up, y'all? How y'all doing, y'all? Y'all good?
Ain't go the way you want it.
No, it went perfect. Like she said, y'all gotta have 32 chargers. So I'm good, y'all.
No, you don't ever see me with a charger, Rasheed.
Man,
but listen, that's the only thing he can say is 32 chargers. Meanwhile, his phone still can't. Nobody can find him with his phone. I mean,
look, I'm found. I'm found everywhere with this joint that I want to be found. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that.
And the picture quality. Oh man, don't send me y'all videos. Y'all videos are 4K. Y'all know we 4 and 6K
over here. Stop playing.
On whose screen? Y'all screen? Because on our screen, it come in this little and it's like that's literally 200 megabytes or something. I don't know what it's really, but you have to be like, I'd be like, send it to me on Facebook. Just send it to me on Facebook. I can't see it on here. That's how bad it is.
That's because y'all screen too small. You probably got the iPhone 2. Which one you got, yo?
I got the latest iPhone, definitely. But you know what? We're not going to go through that because, see, you're an Android user. You'll never understand our life.
I won't
because we fly over here on this side, yo. But look, check this out, yo. I don't want y'all to send a message to Raw
and tell him, mm-mm.
Not Siri, yo. You ain't sent Siri to get me, did you?
And tell but look, Erica said, mm-mm.
Listen, look, speaking of, I like that. So speaking of, is this a or not? Now, last time, me and the crew, we was up here, we was talking a little bit, and we were saying something about, you know, Well, since we got you on here tonight, first of all, before we get into that, I'm about to go too far. Let's introduce you. All right, we got to do it right. You know what I mean? So, for those of y'all that's watching right now, and those of y'all that's gonna watch the playback, this is Coach Erica, y'all. You know what I'm saying? AKA China T, and we chopping it up with her tonight. We got Kev. Kev is gonna jump on at some point tonight. You know what I'm saying? We already know, but we're going to chop it up with her tonight because, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the project that she got going on, y'all, which I feel like is a story that, you know, we all deal with domestic violence in some shape, form, or fashion, you know, whether it's not directly with us or with someone that we know or, you know, we've witnessed it, you know, and our community is regular, right? Like, and which is crazy that we have to say that, you know, like in our community that this is something that we deal with. But I think today we're going to get a different perspective from Coach, because she pretty much took a real life situation and wrote about it, then took that situation that she wrote about and filmed about it, you know, bringing further awareness to the visual aspect. So let me read a little bit about what the book is about for all y'all that's out there. I want to read this little excerpt real quick that they sent. And so all of y'all that's watching and will watch, you can get a better understanding, or at least a little bit, before we let her dive into it, about what the movie is about, right? All right, so the book is called Excommunication, right? Or Excommunication was a bestseller in 2016 after its release. So what she did was she decided to step into the director and executive producer seat and adapt the book into a movie to use the power of storytelling as a catalyst for social transformation. Right. So the story is based on true events that happened at an BCU to be exact. Right. So it delves deep into the harrowing reality of domestic violence and its impact on those around. The movie will hopefully raise awareness, educate, and inspire change. All right. So, Coach, let's get into it a little bit. Right. Let's talk a little bit about first of all, if you could just tell the people a little bit in your own words, just introduce the people to you. Let them know your background and what all you do, if you know what I'm saying, if you don't mind doing that.
Hey, everyone. I am Coach Erica Thomas, also known as Chyan T, as well as Pascal Carnegie. I am a certified coach, life coach, and everything business, health, and healing. My platform is Healing and Building, because I believe that you cannot build until you heal. That means you have to go deep into the crevices, a thing that you didn't do, that you have been hiding for so many years. You have to uncover that, find the reason behind that, resolve that before you're able to build another brick. For what you're doing right now is building on a shaky foundation, and that always falls. When you heal, it gets stronger. So that's my foundation. as an author, I've written several books. The book that I adapted to a movie, Excommunication, Love Gone Wrong, which is a domestic violence awareness book, and it is based on some true events of it. The things that happened, the ending of the book is really exactly what connects the story to the actual events that did happen. Okay. The reason why I wanted to write the story is because first and foremost, we have to put awareness to the whole domestic violence and the tragedy that's come. Over the last few years, it has been an uptick in the number of women who have lost their lives to somebody who told them that they loved them. So, which means that you will never kill what you love. So in essence, these women have lost their lives and some of them have been forgotten. We have to make our young daughters and other young women of all ages aware of these Casanova men that are very nice and give you everything you want and then turn into complete monsters. But then you'll be so embarrassed to tell someone that that's going on that you'll hide it until it's sometime too late. This right. book is to help people be able to voice what's going on so that we can be able to help them if they need help and be able to get them out of that situation and be able to bring awareness to the lack of emotional intelligence that some men carry because they cannot accept rejection. That is very huge because that is why a lot of women are losing their lives because those women want to leave. That is rejection. And when you do not have emotional intelligence, you do not know how to process those feelings. Okay. So this is what this book is going to, this is what the book delves into. It's very emotional. I had to delve into that emotional side because I myself did not go through something so traumatic. I did have an incident that happened when I was a teenager, but it was immediately resolved right then and there. I'm sure that young man probably never hit another woman in his life after he left my house with my mama and all that stuff. So I'm sure he probably never hit another one. But for me, it never happened. But for other I'm sure, as I said, that he probably never did that again in his life. But
you slid that in there too.
I had
a statute of limitation.
I had to be able to talk to different women who went through this. My mother went through this, and I had to be able to channel those emotions into this book to be able to tell this story and adapt it into a movie. And I'm so proud of the finished product. I cannot wait till the trailer comes out and you all are be able to have access to what we have. And it was definitely an experience.
Dope. And I like that because at the end of the day, bringing awareness to social issues on all aspects is something that, you know, for those of us that have a platform, I think is one of our responsibilities to allow people to come up and you know what I'm saying, at least speak their truth. So what I want to do is I want to ask you a little bit more about the book. So the inspiration behind the book, I know when I read through some of the other things that y'all sent, it was based on true events.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, outside of how you just broke it down about people, different people you talk to, is the story following a particular person's story that y'all know, or is it just based on different scenarios and you kind of created a character and what goes on?
No, the story is completely, the story is made up by me.
Okay.
The ending of the story is the true events that have been incorporated into the story. So gotcha. Because all parties are dead, you cannot get a story. There is nobody to give you anything. So you have to just go off what you pick up from the articles, you know, from the news, what you learn and what I learned in my research. So I was able to try to put together a whole story, and then the entire ending is similar to what happened to these individuals when they were killed by that young man before he committed suicide.
Gotcha. All right, bet. So it was, you know, you did basically did a whole bunch of research and was able to pull the story together. All right. So what kind of led you into that particular part of storytelling as your first, you know, jump off the porch when it comes to, you know, your literary side?
That wasn't the first book I wrote. Is that what you said?
For this, because it's your first film. Oh, is it not?
Yeah, this is my first film. Definitely my first film. This wasn't my first book. This is just one of the books that I wrote during my career. But what made me want to write this is because I am an HBCU graduate, and these girls were HBCU students. So automatically, I wanted to be able to, again, deliver that message we have to get in front of this because we're losing too many young women to the same thing. And a lot of them are suffering. They are at HBCU. So, you know, I want to start with the HBCU private screening tour because I want to, you know, put it in the seminar. I want to be able to talk about it, bring it to the forefront and be able to show the film before I shop it around to a network. I want to be able to do that because I want to get the message out here. We need more policies, more something needs to happen. We need to get in front of this because these children are losing their mothers. It's so many children who don't have their mothers anymore from this. And we got something has to be done.
Gotcha. I believe that. So where are you in reference to the nation? Where are you located?
I'm down in Deltona, Florida.
Oh, you out in Florida. Okay. How is fish grease out there right now?
It's the hurricane. We in the throes of the hurricane. You know, it's
Yeah, that's right, because it's kind of raining and stuff up here too.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. Well, all right, bet. So let's do this then. All right. So whenever you, like earlier you said that wasn't your first book, so I want to make sure we corrected that. That wasn't your first book. That was just the first book that you are turning into a film.
Yes.
Okay. So what are some of the other projects that you wrote so far?
Okay.
Like when it comes to your book.
So I write in different genres, you know, but my genre, I call this urban contemporary. Basically, I'm taking urban stories and putting them into contemporary settings. Basically, I'm taking things that we would do normally in our lives and putting them into office settings. My characters are CEOs, they're managers, they're husbands, they're wives, you know, they have all type of grime going on. So that's our urban contemporary side that I write. And then I also have children's books that I write. I have a 20 book children's series, and three of those 20 books have been released now. And then I also have, like I said, the girl on girl erotica. And then I also have self-help books because I'm a certified coach. So I have a big small business guide, which is telling you how to start your business from A to Z. Everything from business credit, nonprofit, everything that you need is in that guide. We have our date to relate guide that's going to help you learn how to date properly, to see if you want to date properly, if you want to date on the roster, do you want to date, you know, traditionally, do you want to date for purpose, you know, what you want, and be able to learn how to voice what you want, learn what your love language is, and stop stepping into situations, not being able to tell people your expectations of them. And then we also have our healing guide, which is going to be 31 days of internal satisfaction, which is going to help those who are facing whatever sit down for 31 days and get through all that stuff. And it's prompts every day. So, you know, you're going to write through those activities and then you're going to do a journal prompt. So I got my healing guide, and then I also have a planner. I want something that you can use for a year. If you want to lose weight, you're going to learn how to budget, you want to save money, you want to learn how to manifest, you want to, you know, change your eating, that planner is going to help you do all of that. And it has all of the prompts and things in it. So I write books, you know what I'm saying, on different, you know, scales, but I'm just...
No, that's dope. Yeah, that's dope. It's good to know because, like, you know, Tamika, she's a life coach and she does planners and books for people. Like, she actually creates them. Mm-hmm. So maybe connect, man, and maybe y'all can figure out a way that y'all can help each other. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Move some things around, you know what I mean? Because she do a lot of big orders for people, too, when it comes to that. So that'd be dope if y'all could probably, like, you know, kind of link up and shit and try to make some shit shake. Awesome. So that's dope. And I think for me, I know we talking about this particular subject and we're going to get into the film and stuff like that. But I think it's more important for people to know, like, when it comes to things like this, like a person's background and where they come from. You know, I noticed that when it comes to different people, whenever they're saying that they do something, a lot of times people, they only think that that person is engrossed in that one particular thing instead of saying that this person is multifaceted. They have so many different layers to them. And, you know, if you just give them a chance, they could pretty much be a person that could give you a couple of different things, even if you don't need everything that they give.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's dope. Because even like CJ, like, you know, a lot of times, like, the new platform that they're building on their end is going to help people who have a career-based scenario.
Right.
Not just who want a job, but who have a career-based scenario, which makes it totally different than a person who's just saying, yo, I just need to go get a check out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. So having these, you know, people like this around, letting people know that, yo, listen, yo, a few of us are not sitting around waiting just to get paid again. We're just really out here working, trying to make some shit shake on a whole nother end. And it take a lot of dedication, and it take a lot of spirit too, man, and heart to do what you do, you know, because you don't know if people are going to like this shit, but you got to put it out there regardless.
Right.
So, ladies, if y'all got any questions for y'all, jump in, man. Y'all let me know. Because what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit more about the domestic violence piece, because I think for you, when you said that something has to be done, it has to get in front of it, right? And from what I see is that a lot of these scenarios, when these guys are emotionally intelligent, not emotionally intelligent, and I don't want y'all to jump on my back, but this is just me being a man, and I'm understanding that I speak to a lot of men, and a lot of times these men are being raised by just women.
Right.
So emotionally, they don't have the wherewithal to know how to think logically, because rejection is not rejection is a logical thought process. You got to be able to think through rejection. You can't feel your way through rejection, because if you felt your way through all rejection, then none of us would be where we are. I wouldn't even be sitting up here if I felt like, because sometimes, like I say, we could put our platform out, I could put a video out and you get no views. So it's not like, you know what I mean? It's something that you are going to get an instant gratification for if it's not something that's inside of you.
Right.
So a lot of times these men don't have a balance. These men are being raised without a balance of understanding how to logically deal with that emotional piece of learning what rejection is, because they grow up and they're being raised by women. And then we need more men or more fathers in the house, or even not in the house, in the children's lives. I think that'll help out. So what do you think about that?
What was the last part? What was the last part you said? We need more what?
I like her.
Did you say we need more what?
I said more men, more fathers, right. Either so in the house or in the life of the children.
That means that you need to go have a conversation with these men, because they need to get on their job. See, that's where the ball is being dropped. If I talk to them, they're gonna think I talk too much. They don't want to hear what I got to say. Oh, I know too much. That's a know-it-all. But if you go tell them, maybe they'll listen. Because you said the men need to be there. I can talk to the women.
Listen. What I'm saying is I'm trying to get y'all opinion on something, because technically women trying to tell men to be in a household when you're not understanding what women they're having to deal with is totally different. I'm saying, like, what do they do? Like, I'm asking y'all a question. Like, do you think that, yes or no, like, is that be part of the solution by men being in the house? No matter how we get them in there, whether we talk to the men and motivate them as men or whatever we gotta do, I'm asking y'all as women, do y'all think part of the solution would be, because these men that y'all are referring to that are doing these things are all being raised in single family household by women. So I'm saying to you, is there anything like, could that be part of the solution as a question? Not as a means of how we force.
Okay. So that is a part that can be a solution, but everybody got the option to resolve whatever issues they got. Okay, so your father wasn't in the home. You can take that with you through life, or you can at some point sit down and resolve it so that you don't have to let it affect your life, right? We all have that option. Every day that we get up, we can say, you know what, today I need to deal with this today. Let me go, because I'm tired of the way I'm treating people. You know what I'm saying? We can do that. That's our decision. But if we don't do that, then that's something different. You know? Right. So that's what we gotta get people to be holding themselves accountable.
Gotcha.
I was just about to say, because I know men that got their daddies in their life, and they still not emotionally
accountable. They have
nothing to do with being raised.
Right. You can get to an age where you say, okay, let me go, because maybe I go, because you know what? I know a lot of guys who didn't have their father. Let me tell you one question. I don't care who you is. Everybody will tell you, I swear. One question I ask any man I deal with, where your daddy? Because I need to understand y'all relationship. And I also need to understand your relationship with your mama. But if I get that negative part, man, F that and all this, and I say, okay, why? And you tell me, because that ain't never been there for me. Okay, you an adult. You don't want to go sit down and talk to him now? Man, F. See, that's what I'm saying. Why are we still angry? Because maybe it was a reason why your daddy wasn't there. maybe you just need to go sit down and talk, and maybe that can heal you. See, that might be what you need to heal you.
That's exactly what my point is, right? Yeah,
we need that, but they won't. But when you're so angry that this person wasn't there, and now you're taking out on everybody else, I mean, at what point are you going to hold yourself accountable and say, I need to deal with this, because I'm really mad because he wasn't there, and my mama did have to struggle, and I couldn't get this and I couldn't get that, because that be the reason why a lot of them be angry, because of what they can't resolve.
You're right. But then that's what goes back to what I was saying earlier, like what you said, CJ, right now. You said you know a lot of people who have their dads and they're still not emotionally intelligent. Well, that goes to the fact of what we talk about, the basis of like what she's saying in this film. When a person goes as far as not being able to accept rejection, mm-hmm. I think that's a totally different mindset when it comes to having a man. Because, you know, like the average man deals with rejection. Like there's not a man that don't deal with some type of rejection, whether it could be, especially Black men in America. Like we could, you know, we know that there are some Black men who step outside of the box and they do things to people, whether it be men or women, that is just foul and vile. But we know also that Black men are endangered species in this country. And we understand that even with that being said, that there are certain men, because even having your father don't really mean that you're going to have a good representation of what a man is anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, let's be honest. Sometimes it's good that your dad wasn't in your life, to be honest, you know. So you're mad, right. But you know, once you realize who your dad was, you're probably gonna be like, you know what? I'm glad this nigga wasn't around, because I probably would have been somewhere jumping out the window or some shit because of the way he is. So let's just make sure that y'all understand. I'm not taking up for men. I'm saying that in the sense of what's going on, as I knew that I grew up around different men, they taught me different things. And rejection was one of the things they taught me to deal with. Because I tell everybody on this podcast, I try to do everything to fit in. I try to get an S-curl. I try to do all kind of shit. I know. Don't do that. Don't do that. Y'all don't do that to me, yo, all right? Because I ain't got no background. But look, I did. I tried to get an S-curl before because I was trying to be Dominican, because I knew that I wasn't light-skinned, because, you know, I was trying to find an angle in. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're growing up during a certain age, you got to deal with that, like we're talking about. So I had to deal with rejection early. I had to learn that no matter how curly your hair is, it don't matter if you can't lighten up.
Where you from? Rob, where you from?
I'm from Jersey.
Okay, so I also noticed that people, men particularly, from the northern area in the United States actually pretty much deal with rejection better than the men in the South. That's what I can tell you now. Yeah.
You think so?
Expound on that a little bit.
Expound on that a little bit. I want to go into it, and I really can't with you because it makes so. But I'm just saying, it's something about the emotional intelligence that I have encountered from a lot of men that I've met that are from the northern states that I have not seen in the men that I know from the South, where, and I'm from Florida. You know, I'm from Miami.
Right.
You know, I've lived in different places in the South, so. I'm not saying they don't. I'm not saying all, you know, but it just seems like they deal with it a little different. You know, it's a difference in how they kind of deal with rejection a little bit.
I wonder if that's because up north, it's real. People are ruder up north. Yeah, and so I feel like rejection is something you encounter sooner.
It seems like it's sweet.
Okay, I agree.
I wonder if that's what it is.
I don't want to seem like I'm crazy. I'm just saying it seemed like they deal with it a little different because I don't know how it was presented to them, but it must have been presented differently than it's presented.
Because we root up north, and we gonna tell you.
But I think that might be it, Mika, because you grow up with family members being rude to you first. Like, it's not even about the people out in the street. It's the aunts and the uncles that been
there. They're going to call you ugly before anybody else.
Yeah, they the ones that's going to, you know, they're going to give you all that to make you, you know what I mean? And then we used to do this thing called dozens or cracking or whatever. So when a person will talk about you, like, stuff that you can't help, like your nose, or you don't know how bad people used to talk about my chin. You can't help it.
Right?
But it helped. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? I got all kind of holes, bullet holes, the way you put, like, all kind of dumb shit. Like, they used to say, you know what I mean? Like, dumb shit. But what I'm saying to you is that, you know, dealing with rejection is something that we have to face with growing up. Like, I would say that I don't know in reference to men from the South, because I didn't grow up in the South, but right. That's interesting that you say that, because even from my point of view, that's why I'm trying to be very selective in what I say and not make it personal about men and women relationships when it comes to whether dads are in the house or not, because I've dealt with situations where the dads wasn't around the mom because of the way that the mom was. And I understand that some people don't think that's a good enough excuse, but you know, it's a lot of things that you got to go through as a man to make certain choices. Because a lot of times, y'all, I'm going to be honest, when you tell a man to be a man, be careful, because you don't know the example of what man that was shown to him in his life. A lot of times the man that was shown to him as an example is, like you wrote in your book, is men that physically put people in a certain place in order for them to respect them, versus knowing that if they're not going to respect you based on what you say, you need to get you need to be from, away from these people.
Right.
Don't work like that. Some of us grew up around uncles that didn't play. They smacked everybody.
And let me just say that, listen, let me just say, I don't want to make it seem like I'm saying that if you needed a father, your life would have been better. Because, yeah, you're right. Some of those fathers, they need to be there. But the basis of the primary relationships in men's life is really what shaped their relationships for the rest of their life. Okay. So it could be the motherless, mother issue. It could be a father issue. But whatever the issues is that started with the people who raised them, that is what sometimes they know. That's what they adapt to. They learn. That's what they take with them through life.
True.
That sometimes is their reason for, unresolved pain is the reason for mistreating people and doing things. We have, at what point, again, are you going to hold yourself accountable and say, let me deal with this? I don't like the way I was treated when I was over there living with my auntie. So I'm finna tell my auntie, and I want to be able to tell her how I felt. I want to be able to get this off my chest because I'm grown now and I want to feel better. And you know what I'm saying? Like, when are we going to? Because you got to do this. You got to get it off if you want to feel better. So
you're right. I mean, but I think that's the thing. I think that's the same thing that we look at when it's a drug addict and when they know that they bottomed out, and you know that in order for them to get right, they got to get off that drug. But it's something about that drug that got a whole lot of them that it takes a lot for them to get to that place where they like, yo, I got to let this go.
In it.
You know what I mean? And that's the same thing with people who are, like CJ said, not emotionally intelligent. Like these people don't know that, it's going to take more than just a simple, I'm tired of doing things to people. Because a lot of times, I mean, for lack of better words, well, let me ask y'all this question. Do you think people allow them to do it to them? Because like you said earlier, Coach, whoever that was when you was a kid, you don't think they're going to do that no more. Whatever they did to get your mom and them and all that. Right. So let me ask y'all, do y'all think it's people allowing them to get away with the first set? Like, what do y'all think? Is it something that we are allowing them to get away with? Because, what do y'all think as women? Because I know all three of you ladies are on here. I can't personally say what all y'all dealt with.
I think that sometimes it's not about if some people be really, they don't want, but don't know how to dismiss. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know it's bad for me, but sometimes it feel good. You know, I don't know how to let it go. So I don't think it's some people who will allow mistreatment, because if they don't know anything else, then what they gonna do? You know, like if they don't never know what it's like to be with a good man, how can they know that this is not a good man? You know, sometimes he get bad, but he still, love me.
Take care or whatever, right? Yeah.
So if they don't know what it's like to be with a man who will treat them like royalty, then that's their only example. So that's the person who may allow it. Then again, you got people who just, that's all they got. That's all they can. Maybe that's their survival. This person pay all the bills. I have to do it, because if I don't do it,
I like that. I like that.
If you really think about it, those type of men is like that mainly go for women that, like, you have to understand, they seek out characteristics.
Right.
And they mainly just women like
they attract each other.
Right. I've never really seen or heard of anyone that's, you know, narcissistic or that's not emotionally intelligent being with somebody else that's equally as fucking crazy. Because one thing about it, so because that's beyond, they go out to certain women like that. They will be toe-to-toe. Like, they're not going to be able to tolerate somebody that will literally give them the same, like, shit, you think you crazy, babe? I'm going to show you some shit. Like, they don't go after them type of, you know, people that's
more. That's the woman that's too strong, and she talk too much, and she's too difficult. And she angry. They don't like that.
And she I agree with y'all on a couple of different points when it comes to that mindset, because I believe that's a mindset right there. You know why? Because that's the same thing that happens when it comes to certain people who get together and have children. You notice that there are some women who have children with dudes. They could leave all the kind of doors open with these dudes. They will not come see their kids. They won't pick them up. They won't take care of them. She don't even put them on child support. Mm-hmm. Then you got the other ones who love their kids, want to be in their kids' life, and they get the baby mothers from hell. So these people never get together. So I agree with you on that. But let me ask y'all a question on this then. So when it comes to the women, because now that I'm thinking about it, the father or the male figure being in a house is not just synonymous to men. I think it's important for women as well, too. So do y'all think that that relationship will help women more if they had a male in the house to kind of show them that particular scenario or how to deal with that? Because I think what y'all said a few seconds ago is that men go for women. Did you say low self-esteem or just had a certain type of personality that they think they could
certain characteristics about her is going to allow him to know that he's going to be able to do what he wanted to do. Yeah, pretty much.
Gotcha. Is there, okay, so what characteristics is that in women do y'all see that is
know. It's opposite us.
Yeah, that's not, we wouldn't be able to tell you because we don't know what they see. Why would you, because the person that they look at you, she's a person who's like broken, or maybe she got, you know, some kids and she got, you know, it's things going on and, you know, difficulties in her life. They take advantage of that and act like they finna come in and help, and then they just become another problem. So what did he see in her? We don't know. We don't know the characters.
We can't tell you.
Right. We don't know.
But I think, but see, but the way that all three of y'all really agreed on that, y'all sure that it's nothing like, all right, so the men, like, we know that narcissist means a man that hates women. So we know that it can't be that.
No.
The men that go after, that's the definition of it. But that's
not a definition of a narcissist.
No.
That's not a definition
of a narcissist. Hold on, because y'all bugging. We about to.
Don't put words in my mouth. Don't
do that.
Google. Yeah, please Google.
Whatever.
Definition of
Because women can be narcissists.
Men and women
are narcissists.
That's what I'm saying.
You said women what?
Are narcissists.
Yeah, everybody is a narcissist. I don't think that's, you know.
Read the definition. The definition.
All right, so here's the definition. Now. I know y'all couldn't get, I know y'all, if y'all would have pulled up on your iPhone, y'all wouldn't have got it this fast, but here's the definition.
It took you 5 minutes, bitch.
Oh, God.
It took me 5 minutes to let y'all talk. Stop being a punk, y'all. Okay. Listen. It says, a person who has an excessive interest in or admiration of themselves. Mm-hmm. Narcissists who think the world revolves around them. Translations and more definitions.
Okay.
Narcissists and men are men who dislike or dishonor women.
Narcissists
and women...
Well, that didn't say hate.
Okay,
that's what we're saying.
I mean, I'm just letting y'all know that's
okay, but not hate. That's a strong word, not that.
All right. Well, a man, but it's maybe not hate, but dislike. That's the word that they use. So that's what I'm saying to y'all. That, but like y'all said, that's not a man thing. That's a human thing. Men and women could be narcissists. So do y'all believe that the man, like a man in the house for a woman, will help as well for her to avoid these men, or no?
No.
Yeah, because it depends on the man. That's what I'm saying.
Because if he ain't worth nothing, that's the only example she got.
What she gonna learn about? You know what I'm saying? Like, she just, no, it's like, if you got, when we say man in the house, we mean one who literally
is in a part of being the man. You know what I'm saying? Not the provider, but the leader. It's a difference between a leader and a provider, okay? A provider just use money to make sure everything's straight. That don't mean they can lead you anywhere. A leader is going to be able to give you that money and be able to lead this household to make sure everybody on one accord, okay? So if you have a leader in the household, then yes, that's a great example for a young girl, because hopefully she takes that example and that's the type of man that she wants in her life. However, we have seen what they have went the total opposite way and had a completely different opposite. So what we're saying is it would be great if a man is in the house to get an example, if it's the man to give the example, not just any man. Because if it's a man in there that's abusing the children, abusing a mother, then that now they learning something else. That's a whole nother abuse and a whole nother trauma. And that's something different now. So
I mean, you're right. And I think that's a fact. Like, you know, but like I said, you know, so Tiffany, she's sitting up here talking about, you said hate though. I know everybody said I said hate. I meant maybe dislike. Sorry, y'all. I'm the only man up here. Y'all all jumping me. It's all women.
Hey, Tiffany. Tiffany's in the movie. She's one of the cast.
Jumping me in the chat. Like, come on. All right, but listen. So like y'all said, I agree with y'all. You know what I mean? Like a male's presence is only important as, you know, the personality of the man, I think. Or like y'all said, the spirit of the man. Like, what is he? Is he just a provider or is he both? Is he a leader and a provider?
Right.
Does he actually spend time with the children or does he just provide for the children and then that's it? Leaves everything to the mom. I think all of that is important. But I want to say this, though, yo, when it comes to domestic violence, like, I want to ask y'all this particular piece because, you know, let's get into it because I think that's the meat and potatoes of what you're filming, right? All right, so just so y'all can help other women that's going to be watching or whatever, what are some of the red flags that women should see early? If y'all know, by talking to other women, any type of experience, I want all three of y'all to chime in on this one.
Okay.
Tell me something that will help women see the signs in an early way of that, whether this man is narcissistic or it's going to lead into this way, even if he don't start off that way. What are some of the red flags? And those of y'all in the chat, I want y'all to jump into. What are some of the things that they could see early based on either experience or something that y'all have witnessed?
Like controlling behaviors.
It started with
type of controlling.
Love bombing. Yeah. What's love bombing?
Love bombing is basically just they show you, always shower you with affection.
They speak
your love language
it's
all of a sudden.
A lot.
And they're all over you.
It's not healthy
what they already did.
Right. Listen, because we want affection, but sometimes it can be excessive. And with the excessiveness comes now you feel like you belong. Now there's a belonging that you feel is there. I've given you all this, you belong to me. I won't. And see, Derek, let me talk about rejection. When this rejection, what happens?
Okay. Especially when a person gets into their mind that they feel like they own.
Because what
person or like what
love bombing is just the overdoing of everything.
Everything.
So now I feel like you owe me.
Yeah. Okay. Affection but turn into obsession and jealousy. Yep. Yeah, because it's a sense of ownership. You're doing it to gain that person's trust and to kind of, you know, get them on a hook. And then that's love bomb. It's crazy. Also that I don't know, like I think in a sense of a narcissist, that's cool, but I think even on a smaller scale, like some, not even smaller scale, because I don't think no scale was too big or too small. But I would say something so simple like stuff that we might not necessarily go for, like somebody that's just, you know, aggressive, or they just simply possessive, or they just feel as though, you know, I don't know,
control
ownership, but on the opposite scale, like they use their aggression and physical force to like kind of, you know, insert that in you. So it varies, but it's a lot.
another thing is just the making you feel bad about stuff. Like early on, like just you may try to make a decision. Well, why you want to do that? You know, making you feel bad about being who you are, you know, and it hasn't even went physical yet. Just that right there can let you know that this is going so well. Cause now it's like she said, this person don't want you to do nothing. And then it's the cutoff. Now they don't even want you to be talking to these people no more. Now they're trying to be your only friend. Why? Now they want you to just know the people who they know. They don't want you to know the people who you know. trying to isolate you. Nice isolation. All of these things can lead to you feeling embarrassed and not telling people what's going on, and then it's too late when things do get out of hand. Yep, like Tiffany said, question you about everything. It's becoming too much, but some people think that that's normal because guess what? That's all they know. You know what I'm saying? If they don't know nothing else, this behavior is not a red flag for them. So that's why it gets sometimes it gets to the point where they've been somewhere for so long, then it gets physical again. They've been hiding it for so long, don't nobody know, and then they end up, now we just hear about it on the news.
So let me ask you this, because I've noticed that a lot of times when it comes to abuse, and y'all just correct me, you know what I'm saying, if this is not right. Does it normally start with verbal and mental abuse first before it gets to the physical, or does physical abuse start a little bit early? And what I mean by a little bit early, with maybe something like a shove or a shout, like or an aggressive way of arguing. What in those particular aspects, what signs do y'all feel like come before the other one?
Honestly, it depends. It's not like a set strategy. Like, it's not a set way and progression you will see, because you have some people that are, like, especially those, and this is prime example, like, real blanket so everybody can pretty much understand. Like, those that are, you know, a different caliber, far as a different tax bracket, you know, they're more so of the ones, they're going to be sweet, charming, to kind of, you know, and then they, boom, they hit you with the, and then you got some that, you know, not necessarily have anything to do with their, maybe, financial status, but you got some that are just, like, their only way of expressing themselves, because we often have a thing thinking that when somebody physically, like, put their hands on us, even as kids, you know, if he hits you, you know that it means that he like you type shit.
Right.
So we accept that, a certain generation of us do at least. So when it comes to sense of communication and me trying to express myself or trying to get something out, the first thing we want to do is be physical for some people type shit, you know. So they automatically think that's okay. Like, it's just... Right. It depends. It's not like a set strategy. It's just, these are literally everything that can literally be wrong. So if you see any sign of this shit, run. Like, don't wait. Just, you know, it's just run, because it's no set way unless you just know how to. I took sociology and psychology. So when you actually understand and know people's personality, and you sit and you learn how to observe and kind of pay attention, especially after you've educated yourself, you'll be able to see it before that shit even start. So it's like, it just depends. A lot of people don't know how to, you know, be sociable enough, whereas they can pick up on these characteristics, because a lot of people want to be isolated. They don't really want to deal with people. And when they do deal with people, they come across all these fucked up people because of whatever reason. So it depends. I just know there's no set way that the shit go in order unless you differentiate by characteristics or by people. Like, you really
it's nothing. Everybody gonna act how they want to. It can start with physical. You can get punched right in the face immediately. And think that's not, you don't say nothing because you still stunned that you got punched in the face.
You're like, wait, did he really do that?
For the next week that you got punched in the face, you're not going to tell anybody. Fact. This is when it starts, right? Mm-hmm. And because he ain't do it for a week, you feel like it's okay. Then 2 weeks later, he do it again. You still stunned, and you still not going to tell anybody. So it can be immediate, or it can start with the verbal, calling you names, blaming you for stuff, making you feel guilty about wanting to be you. And then it goes to the physical, okay? And sometimes it don't go to physical at all. It's completely all verbal.
And
you
and just mental.
Yeah.
That's mental. That's horrible.
The lowest of low. Like, you just don't feel like nothing. Like, everything is just, you don't believe in your nothing. So it don't even got to get physical. That's worse than physical. You know how, you know how much building.
You almost want to get punched in the face.
You know how much building you got to do of this person when that person breaks them down? If I said I had a preference, I can heal you from the hit. That emotional drag down, mental, that is going to take
rough.
Until you recognize it will take forever. And the thing about it is, we can't start until you recognize it. Yeah, that's why.
And that's what goes back to earlier about when we said, well, which was one of your questions, Coach. When do we take accountability? I guess people don't take accountability till they recognize that this is a problem. Mm-hmm. Most people think that this is just how I am. How often do we be around people who be, you know, even when they go places, they mad loud, or, you know, it's, oh, this is where I'm from, or this is just who I am. I'm always like, you don't know when to turn certain things off and on, as if that still don't be you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's always people out here who just live in that whole thing that this is just me, this is just who I am type of thing without understanding that, yeah, the way that you are is because you've been damaged. And you damaging other people. Hurt people hurt people, right?
That's it.
So, you know, like, how do you, so in that sense, yo, so with all that being said that y'all just said, which was pretty much like, I want to get these things out, though, because at the end of the day, I think everybody, have y'all all been friends? No, let me not ask that. Let me ask this. Mm-hmm. If y'all see anybody that y'all know dealing with people with these signs, do y'all as females pull y'all homegirls aside and try to help break this down? Now, I understand that sometimes when people are emotionally involved, they don't see certain things and, oh, it's okay and all that other dumb shit. But let me ask y'all, as friends, because, like, I think what we're going to get into you about the ending of your stuff, we're going to get into your movie in a minute. But tragedy happens sometimes. Sometimes people don't walk away with just a black eye. You get what I'm saying? So as much as we all would say that we might know somebody who got punched in the eye, it's like, it's different saying I know somebody who is not here no more because of domestic violence. You know what I mean? So let me, go ahead.
No, like one of the readers, you know, one of my readers who I loved and who read this book and loved this book died from domestic violence. And I'm going to, her name's going to be on the dedication screen in the movie. Right. Because she's not alive to get to see this come to a movie. Because she's going to succumb to something just like this. So that right there. And then, of course, I've known people who have been in physical, you know, violence relationships. And what I learned in those friendships at that time was when you try to save people, they're going to go back. And when they go back, it's really nothing you can do. Okay. It's really nothing you can do. You do try to save them, but they go back. So you really have to literally, then I just say you have to wait till they see it. They have to, they have to get to the point where as a friend, I want to pull them out, but no, people go back.
We said that too.
Exactly. We talked about it a couple weeks ago.
No, we said that too.
I have to get to the point where they see the problem. So it don't matter how good of a friend I'm being, even if I know what's going on, if she don't leave,
it's nothing we can do. We just gotta prepare ourselves.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that is a hard thing on us as friends because that just in case that is something that we're gonna always be like. And I knew it was going on and I couldn't do nothing about it. That's all they can say. And that is a guilt that you're going to put in your friend. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is unfair. It is sometimes it is unfair because we as friends will carry that. If something happens and we say, and girl, I knew about it. I ain't never, that's a weight that you put on your friend. And it's sometimes it's not fair. It's really not fair because
And let me say this, and this is in no means a way to try to make anything trump anything or try to put anything on top of anything else. But just imagine that feeling as a sibling to this person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like being a big brother to a person or to your sister that you know that she's dealing with something, and then you go over there and fight and beat the dude up, do all this other stuff. She still take him back, and then something happens to her.
Right. That is
now imagine that when you go through your whole life protecting this person as being the older brother or whatever. Because you know, sometimes it'd be the big sisters that be the protection. Because let's be completely honest. Right now we're talking about it based on coming from a man to a woman, but some of these dudes be getting handled by some of these women out here.
Yeah.
I know a lot of chicks who had to step in for their brothers and knock their brothers' wives out or girlfriends out because you know she wasn't handling him. And because he was raised not to put his hands on a woman, she was raised by all brothers. All she did was fight boys.
Right.
You know what I mean? She don't look at it the same as you look at it. You was raised by people who told you not to put your hand on women. She was raised by all boys. All she did was fight. You getting hit. But you love her.
Right.
You know what I mean? So sometimes that happened too. But
sometimes it ended tragedy too.
You get what I'm saying? Because think about so many people who that happened. You know what I mean? Somebody can't take rejection. It's a lot of men who ain't here no more just because they told a person they don't want to be with them no more. And I think that's the thing that we deal with the most. So a lot of things just keep us so separated. You know why? Because it's men do this and women do that, as if that ain't human nature for people to do whatever they do. I know some fucked up dudes and some fucked up chicks. It's the same thing. You know, but they do these things to keep us separate. So let me ask y'all something. So in your movie, first of all, how did you go about casting for your movie? Did you do like a casting call, or did you like personally reach out for people that was your main core cast or whatever?
Yeah, I did a casting call. I actually used Backstage, used Facebook, some Facebook groups, but I also put up, you know, places, and people actually applied through my website. And then it must have been like a, you know, word of mouth thing, because people was all coming out. We got a lot of, you know, people to come through, you know, and I was actually shocked. We wanted to start on like July 1st, but, you know, I'm so excited. We started on like put it up June 24th. So by like June 29th, we was like almost like, wow, look at all these people. We haven't even officially opened casting, but we had so many people who was interested. But, that's how we got our crew. We got down to about, I think it was 20 something, almost 30 something people for the cast. But then it's seven main characters. So like three, it's like, you know, three main characters, four supporting, but the story with the seven ones who, you know, the ones who ended the most. And it was definitely an experience, one that I definitely enjoyed. You know, some days it's awesome, some days like, you know, but it was an experience.
Tiffany said, y'all work them.
She said yes.
Yes, she worked us, y'all. I believe
Tiffany. They did good. You just gotta, I don't know. I wish y'all could see my eyes as I'm looking back at it. I wish I could like play on the reel so y'all can see. It was definitely an experience. Oh, Tiffany, I did not work y'all, but I definitely was kind of a bit hard, and I was hard because I know how I wanted it to be. Like, this my book, it's my baby. I wanted it to give the message that it needs to give. So yes, sometimes I was difficult on set, but in real life, that's what I'm saying. In real life, they know. Them people know. At the end of the day, in real life, the people know I love them. Like, it ain't even really no nothing. But on set, I had to be who I had to be so we can get the product that we got, that we gonna have. You know, that's what we need. That's, you know.
Take that. The good thing is, I know with me, I know with the crew, they always come. They be ready to work. They don't put me through none of that. So I'm thankful. I don't complain about my crew at all, yo. I'm gonna be honest with you, because a lot, they don't ever know what I'm gonna do when they get there. Never. Ever.
It's a surprise.
And it's like, boom. And so I'm always thankful, and I always tell them too, because like I said, I hear the stories of other people. I pass on that. Like, if I had a choice between the two, I'll pass. I just hold my crew down. Hopefully they continue to see the vision and we just keep moving. You know what I mean? So that's dope. So everything was shot in Florida. So
was in Atlanta.
Oh, all right. So you came up to the A. So the actors, were all the actors from Atlanta? Did anybody come from Florida?
Majority of them's from Atlanta. Some came from, drove from Alabama. Some came from Savannah, other little cities in Georgia. Yeah, it was dedicated.
Oh, that's fly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fly. So how long was the production based on from start to finish?
The production was a total of 2, 4, 6, 8 days.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, and it's a full length, right? Or is it short?
Yeah, it's a feature film.
Oh, wow. Y'all got it done? Oh, yeah. Everybody was working. They was ready then. Y'all got it all done.
People think that it take long to find. Y'all know it took them. They, you know, that movie Acrimony, they filmed that in 5 days. It's not a process. It's not a process that take weeks. Now, people can do it if things are coming up. You know, some people may drag some things along depending on what's going on. Like, for instance, if it's a student film, student films they get to do on a like full sale campus. So that movie might take a little longer to make because they have access to all facilities. But you know, everything is free, which means they're not paying their, you know, sometimes paying the actors. So they have to work on schedule. So that might take them months to make versus somebody I hear who have money for a budget. It don't take long to film a movie. When you That's got right. the script, got the actors and everybody execute, it don't take long at all. So it was from August 2nd to August 14th. But we film every 2 days and we had a review day, 2 days review day. So that's how we film. And we did the scenes based on the locations that we was doing. The main scenes, we had like two Airbnb houses. We was able to get multiple scenes between those two Airbnb houses. Then we also used some other scenes on the last day to fill in. So yeah, it was definitely an experience. We also had a schoolhouse. There's a schoolhouse in Atlanta that they rent, and we was able to get our school scenes there. So it was awesome.
Oh, that's dope.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's what it is, man. That's
okay, what it is, see it. What platform is that on, or what?
So I told you I want to do the HBCU college tour. And okay. I want to do it in the private screenings first because I want to be able to make it a conversation.
Right.
And then we want to be able to put it on a network. I don't know what network yet. We definitely still determining what network, but I don't know. It might be Tubi, but I don't know.
Yes, girl, please.
Hey, yo, listen. Go get that bag, yo, because they're giving out that bag, yo.
Yeah, thinking about that. We have been thinking about that, but we just put all off. So I just can't wait to see the trailer. That's what I'm waiting on, a trailer. And yeah, time is money. Yeah, I'm ready to see the trailer, y'all. That's what I'm waiting to see.
We're ready to see it too. Well, check this out. If you ever want to come up in North Carolina and get it popping and start showing it around, holla at me. Let's make something shake, yo. We'll put it together, man. We got a whole coalition of a whole acting scene and all kind of other stuff going on. So we can help market and promote you out this way. And if you feel, you know, like today's conversation was good enough for us to stay in contact. Because like I said, you know, even though I know y'all got iPhones and sometimes y'all should be dead, but I still could reach out to you at least by email. You know what I mean?
You gotta stop.
All right, so Tiffany said it would be great. So we'll stay in contact and we'll make sure that we do that. And as y'all make y'all runs and y'all get y'all schedule, just kind of include, you know, us in the schedule, and we'll make some shake, man. We'd love to see the screening too, man, of your
We're gonna have a private screening of it in October. That's what I plan. So that's why I'm so eager to see get this trailer.
Is it going to be in Atlanta?
Huh?
In Atlanta?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually want to do a wrap party when they do the trailer. I want to do a wrap party so we can show the trailer officially to everybody before it's released. So just waiting on the trailer, you know. But what's holding it up is I need B-roll footage from Jacksonville. And gotcha. You know, we got this storm coming on right now, and this is I need B-roll, and I don't even know what this storm gonna do for me to be able to get the B-roll. But another guy did give me a link to to something that'll be able to help me probably possibly get the footage that I need to be able to
fill it in.
Yeah,
I was gonna say the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, depending on what you need, it's some stock out there you might could snatch, you know what I mean? Where you ain't gotta go through all that. Like it's all kind of tricks out here, trust me. You know what I mean?
That's what's going on right now. That's what's, you know, I'm trying to be able to provide, but this hurricane just kind of got in the way. And I think I dragged my feet a little bit too, because I just been real busy. I've just been busy. So
let me just put this out here. I don't know if anybody ever witnessed this or not, but let me just say you're pretty gangster, because what I'm hearing in Florida is that the sea level is rising as well. And the fact that y'all in the hurricane and you're just sitting there just as calm as if y'all might have to swim through some alligators to get out of it. What's going on? You ain't want to evacuate? Y'all ain't want to get out of there until the storm is over?
No. So listen, because I'm not in no direct line. Let me start there.
Okay. Because Florida. Tell us. We ain't got
let me just give you a little education of Florida. I'm basically inland right now, which is a little safer than me being at any coast. I'm inland, first of all.
Okay.
And then I'm also on a side of the Florida that the storm is not directly hitting. So we're going to get rain. We're going to get tropical storm and, you know, some of that heavy wind. But we're not going to get direct force hit. Where that's going is going to the panhandle. Up there in that area. So that's what like a Cedar Key. Oh Lord, Cedar Key is directly just gonna be so affected. bitch. The police, it was mandatory evacuation. The city, Cedar Key, they all had to get out of there. They had no choice. They had to get out. They got to get out of there. And they like maybe like a town of like 700 or 800 people, but they had to get out of there. Everybody had to go. So I hope that place is, you know, whew, I don't know how that's going to look, but for everybody else, I hope everybody bunker down. You see, it rained a little bit, like some bands started coming. Right. Fort Myers was already had water up to the car level, like open your door, water's out, like that type of water, like driving through water, like tear your engine up water. That's what Fort Myers already got, and the hurricane wasn't even there yet. So that's what's coming off of it. And so we got some of that that came over for like, it came like strong, real strong lightning, all that for like 8 minutes, and then boom, it cleared back up. That's what it do. The thing about it is, with me being inland, we are on the right side of the hurricane. It's two sides to a hurricane. Everything that's on the left side of the hurricane pretty much is kind of safe, because you know a hurricane whirls to the right. It doesn't whirl to the left. So right. Anything that's kind of on the left is kind of, you know, pretty much going to get some bands and some wind, but ain't going to get nothing that's going the right side. That's the strong wind, tornadoes, all that stuff. So that's the stuff that my side is facing in the inland because of the fact that we're on the right side of the storm. So that's the, you know, I'm in the house. We just, the town didn't pretty much evacuate, but it was like, you know, I talked to the fire lady and she was like, you know, if you want to put sandbags and all that stuff, but just bunker down, get all the water and all that stuff. So that's what we're doing.
Oh, all right. Bet. So they got y'all in the spot where y'all can't like go out and none of that. Y'all just got.
They ain't do that yet. They haven't said in yet. If it gets to that point, they will, but they haven't said that yet. I just talked to the lady when I was at the gas station. She just said that, you know, just if you feel like you need to get sandbags and just prepare for it, you just may be a drill because you may not get nothing heavy, but just in case.
Oh, gotcha. I'm in a good part, so that's good, yo, for real. So listen, let me just say this. So we want you to make sure that you let the people know exactly what you would like them to get from the film and the project. Because would you like people to go check out the book as well as what they're going to get from the film?
Definitely the book right here. I got this background on. Let me tell you this background on so y'all can see the book, because I got the book right here. Oh, give me a moment. Okay. Yeah. It is in, I don't know if it's backwards or not, but here is the book. It is in audio on Google Play. It is also on Amazon Books, Kobo, Smashwords, all of the ebook networks. And you can also order a hard copy on my website so you can get a signed copy to yourself sent to you in the mail. The movie is awesome. The book, Tiffany, I don't know if she down there. Tiffany, tell y'all. The book is really going to make you cry some real tears. And I'm sure the movie's going to probably do the same thing. I am ready for this movie. I hope y'all do. This is what I want to get from the movie. We need a conversation about rejection. We got to talk about it. We got to teach our sons. We got to teach these people about when people say no, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that we have to stop right there. We can move on. We have to teach them. We have to learn how to teach our sons that they can't emote, release, whatever. They are not crybabies. They are not nothing that's negative if they want to get their emotions out. They need to be able to release. We have to give them the avenue to do that, because if they learn how to do that early, they won't be holding on to so much when they get older. That's what I want to get. That's one of the things. The second thing is women. We have to stop being embarrassed. If you are in a relationship with somebody that's putting their hands on you, it is not your fault. I don't want you to think it is. You have got to stop holding that in because you are putting yourself in danger. Listen to me. If you have children, if you are not here for them, no one will take care of your children like you. If you don't think about nothing else, no one will care for your children like you. So make the decision and get out. You don't have to be embarrassed. You need to get out of there. And the last thing is family members. If you know this is going on, stop doing a hush mouth. I'm so tired of that. When we know things are going on, we just turn our head. We got to stop doing that. If you know your grandson, a son, it's a daughter, somebody, something being affected by domestic violence, speak up and say something, because we need to save more lives. Children are going without. Those are the messages that I want the people to get from the film, and that's what I want them to get from the book. Please, like, be safe. Like, put yourself first, you know. That's the biggest thing. Put yourself first as well. Like, nobody's going to treat you How you're going to treat you, the most important relationship in life is with you. So do not allow others to mistreat you or make you feel any type of way because you don't want to be with them.
Facts. Rejection is, wow, that could be a really dope topic. I don't think a lot of people talk about that in a sense of just really diving on what it's like to deal with rejection. I think
I was telling you about guys and girls' phone numbers and how girls just give it to them.
Yeah, true.
I was telling you it's about rejection. You're like, for real? And I was like, yo, that shit, it's real out here. Like,
now you put it together. You put it together last time too, now that I think about it, because you were saying that's the reason why y'all give the real number, because if not, they're going to call it right then and there. Then it can be something else that happened and all that other stuff. So, yeah, you know what's hard, though? I think for people who, like, when y'all tell us about these stories that these guys be doing, and you know that's not part of your character, that's what make it kind of hard. It's like, yo, really? That dude's really be doing that, yo? And then when y'all be like, yeah, for real, like, yo, yeah, these cats be bugging. Like, they can't take rejection. Like, yo. Like, they really can't take a no. And it's weird because there's no way. And I'm looking at men, like, there's no man that's walking around here that always heard yes. There's no way. So why take it out on somebody that you feel like you, I don't know. It's just weird to me, yo. But I think.
No, it's not that. It's not that they, listen, it's not that they didn't hear no. It's just that they don't want to hear no from that person.
That. Well, either way, like, no. But you know what? No is still no, though.
The controlling part, I don't want you to say no. The controlling part of them, the possession part, you can't tell me no. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to tell me no, but since you told me no, okay, this is what's gonna happen. And right. You write about the phone and everything, because sometimes you be having,
it's rough out here.
I done had
the wrong B&Q is sometimes not even worth it.
You just feel obligated and you don't want these people with your number. But guess what? I got a Google number, so I'm gonna get them a Google number. They're gonna call, and as soon as they call, they're not getting a call, I'm gonna block them.
Yeah, I told them. That's why I was like,
yeah, that's
asked me what number. You know, they be like, hey, let me get your number. Okay, so I'm gonna give you a number. I'm gonna give you the Google Voice number. You're gonna call. It's gonna ring, and I'll let you think you feel. And as soon as I get in the car, it's gonna be blocked because this is not what I wanted. But for me to keep my life, if that's what I needed, then that's what it was. That's what it was. Because if I reject you, it might be something that's now I might have to argue with you. I don't like that. You know, some they will get in a whole argument with you. No. Get the number.
Get the number. Here you go. Right as soon as you ask, here you go. Gotta go.
That's it.
It's bad. I'm always in a rush anywhere I go.
Especially when I go out of state, you're tripping. Yes, sir. I'm blind.
That's it. You don't know. Like, you don't know where they head at. You don't know what's going on. So you can go, because I don't even know what you think about right now. You might be mad at somebody else. If I tell you no, you might take it out of me. Don't worry about it. Here go my number. Call. If I get in the car.
Tiffany, you girl, you got cursed. So I done got cursed. I done had somebody threaten me with a gun. Like, girl, I just be like, you know what? You can have his thing. Hold on.
That's what I'm saying.
Y'all, real quick.
You just gotta pick and choose your battles. I'm not playing my battles. Here go the number, call the Google. When I get a number, block.
I'm gonna block it. It's a simple solution. I'm not about to sit there and argue with you unless you physically put in your hand.
Exactly.
Like, cause you got some that'll be, they'll push you, like they get physical with you. But other than that, if you just, that's my, here you go.
Right.
Y'all listen, I'm hurry. I'll be telling my husband a heartbeat. You damn right. Guess who need to make it back to their kids? Me.
Exactly.
You
exactly.
Yo, but you know what though, y'all? That's certain things that dudes that don't do that don't know about. You know what I mean? So it's good that y'all saying that, man, because that's a form of, like y'all said, like, which is so weird though, but that's some of the things that y'all have to deal with in order to not have to deal with the repercussions of just being able to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's weird. Like, I really
think that's weird. We definitely can't say no. that's gonna be World War III out there. Y'all ain't trying to get that shit get loud. I mean, excuse me, it get loud, it get boisterous. Everybody be, I don't got time for that, huh? Get this number.
Yeah, it be embarrassing. I be nice, so I be extra nice. I let them know. Yeah. Cute, real stuff.
Hey, thank you so much.
It's the whole, fake conversation, because I'm telling you, I really don't know your mind at, and I just want to get in my car and go. That's all I
do. Facts. So I'm gonna play it.
All the way up. Yep.
Look at y'all.
Lock the door and right out.
Look at all y'all up here being great actors. I love it, y'all. But look, yeah, you got to do what you got to do, right? To keep yourself. This is some of the things that I think a lot of people should be taught. Like, although, and I think that ties back into something we said last week, maybe like a couple weeks ago when we was talking about us doing things. Why should we have to do that? Right. Yeah. Like when we were saying, like when it comes to working around the whole way that we get loans and stuff, but we got to have, if it's a white person that's in our crew, we got to let them be the front so we can get the access to the funds, you know? And like, we was like, yo, well, why would we have to do it? It's the same thing I'm looking at when it comes to y'all. Like, why do you have to give them the number? Like y'all said, because look, I'd rather go home than me to sit up here and have to fight somebody that gets mad because I'm not giving them the number. Now they pride and ego all hurt, and now they want to try to show out down here. And then now I got to defend myself because somebody asked for my number, and I said no. And it's listen, like, you know what I mean? So I get it, you know? Like, that's real life. And the fact that we have these opportunities to say this, because I don't know if that's a standard for all women, because I still see people still arguing. So obviously some of the mother girls didn't get the memo, but
when they listen to this, hopefully they hear what you said. Just download Google Voice.
Give them, give them a number.
Number over there. And as soon as it rings, you get in the car, it's just a simple block. And when they call, it's going to say the number you called is no longer in service. They're going to think, they ain't going to know what happened, but you're going to be gone and you're going to be alive.
That's a fact. She said you're gonna be gone and you're gonna be alive, and that's a fact.
Download Google.
You get to do it all over again another day. You live to do it another day. That's it.
Hey, Meek, you said you live to fake them out another day, Meek.
Yep. Those are the times that we in. It's crazy. Listen. It's happened, like I said, it's happening so often. I just hear another story and I just be like, dang, man, it's continuing to happen to somebody else's child. We need a conversation. We have to be able to talk about it. Like, we got to teach. And the main thing, again, we got to teach our sons how to be able to emote properly so they're not holding on to stuff and stop making them feel like they have to, so that we can alleviate a lot of these things that they're holding on to.
Right.
The pressures that are put on them as young men, as men, period. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, they already carrying a way of being a man, then the black man. Okay. Those are a lot of weights. So now you can't be this, and you can't be emotional this because you have to be this. No, baby, I need you to cry as often as you can. Come on, let's cry together. What do you need to release? You know what? Let's release it. I am a coach. Let's release it, because if we can resolve it here, then you're going to treat everybody else out there better. And the first thing, you're going to start treating yourself better. At the end of the day, treat yourself better. When you start treating yourself better, you're definitely going to treat everybody else better.
That's a fact. I like that, yo. And I think that's a lot of good gems to walk away from. And I think just based on the conversation today, I think a lot of people will be able to get a lot from this conversation, because whether we believe it or not, domestic violence is real. People are still dealing with it. It's a lot of people who have to deal with it more when this, pandemic happened. It's a lot of people still dealing with stuff now or trying to get out of it right now. So hopefully for those of y'all that may be dealing with it or know somebody that's dealing with it, how can they get in contact with you, coach? Like if somebody need to be able to, you know, if they want to have somebody to talk to or, you know, get some information if they're watching this or will watch this.
You can go to my website, iamericathomas.com. iamericathomas.com without the K. Okay. And you'll see my book me link at the top. Go ahead and book your consultation. It's called Chaos to Peace Consult, because basically that's what you're going from chaos and trying to find peace. So go ahead and book your consultation. Go ahead and look at some of the things I have on my website in the wellness section. I have the blog up and I talk about different topics there, unrequited love and things of that nature. So go and get familiar with that, because that's a lot of reasons why a lot of women end up with abusers. It's unrequited love. They're moving from relationship to relationship trying to replace something that's not replaceable, but you know what I'm saying? It's just a repeated cycle. So go and learn about things like that. And, you know, other things that, you know, I have on my website. And follow me on social media. On IG is Coach Erica T. On TikTok is Coach Erica T. On Facebook is I Am Erica Thomas. You know, and you're going to also find China T on Facebook as well. If you would like to read some, you know, look at my other books and things of that nature, all of that is on my website and on my social media.
I bet. So for those of y'all that may be watching, listening, or watch the playback, listening, y'all know what to do, man. Just get in contact if y'all need to get some information. If any of y'all are dealing with domestic violence on any level, it may not be physical, like all the ladies said today. They said it could be going through something mental, which is even worse, because that gets you out of your thought process. That gets you off your square. That gets you not even believing in yourself, or that anything that you are is right or right about you, which is a lot worse than somebody putting their hands on you. Because it's just like as a kid when we said, would you rather have the punishment or the beating? I said, I'd rather take the beating, because if I could take the beating, it'll go away and I can go outside. I do not want to be in a room where people yelling my name from downstairs. Yo, rah-rah, you coming out? And I got to be like, nah, or hide out the window every time somebody look up because I'm looking down and shit. You know, like that. Let me stop because I'm starting to reminisce. So there we go. I just want all of y'all out there that's watching to understand that, man, don't feel alone. You know what I mean? You are, you know, and even as men, like, listen, y'all, we understand, like, some of y'all may be the antagonizer. We understand that. A lot of times, a lot of men that do the abusing be watching stuff too. It ain't like it just be the other way. If y'all feel like, you know, you tired of being a person that feel like you have to resort to anger in order for you to get your point across, then yo, call Coach too. She ain't gonna judge you. She might talk about you a little bit up front because you, you know, you did that, but she ain't gonna judge you. she might just dig in you a little bit more firmer because you know you know, but you're transitioning, so it's all about change.
Yeah, all about change. Right.
Stay positive out there.
And Mika, I would love to work with you. Definitely, let's see what we can do. Because what type of coaching do you do?
I do life purpose. Okay. So I'm with those women who lost themselves at some point, probably after something in a domestic violence situation. They forgot who they were. They were in that emotional abuse. So
yeah, definitely healing. Okay, great. Awesome. So we can definitely collaborate. Also want to say, everybody, I'm also hosting an indie book fair during the Florida Classic Weekend in Orlando, Florida on November 19th. It is going to, you can go to the website indiebookfair.net. Hosting that event. And I'm also going to host a literary appreciation weekend next year in March as well. So I'm so excited. The collection. Thank you, Tiffany.
Oh, so, no, Tiff, don't worry about it. We're going to have her back because she got this erotica book. She got all this other stuff. I want to get into that with the girls because when I said something, especially CJ, she told me, I said, well, hold on. Don't be talking in that. All right. So look, we got to bring her back, you know, so hopefully. We ain't run off. You know what I mean? Tonight, I know y'all got that movie. So we want to make sure we get that out today.
Right.
We're going to have to bring her back and we're going to talk about some of these other books and stuff.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I enjoyed y'all so much.
I know that. Nice talking with you. See, this wasn't that bad, right? Like, you know, you ain't get interviewed. You know what I'm saying? You ain't get
a conversation. It was awesome. I love the conversation. I love talking with everybody. I love your perspective. I love everybody's input. I'm so happy.
Well, good. I'm glad you chose, you know what I'm saying, us to be able to come on and talk to and chop it up with us, man, because, you know, as a lot of people do, you know, they create these platforms and they make it about themselves. You know, it's easy to have an ego. You know what I mean? It's easy to sit up here and just be a bunch of people that blab off, but it's also great to have a platform where you allow other people to come up and share their perspective,
right,
regardless. And that's one thing that I thrive on about sparking conversation is that, you know, although we may show passion at times and we don't always agree with each other's perspective, but we never argue. We never fuss about another person's perspective. It's awesome. What you want to do. The only way that you can learn or understand people for who they are is to allow them to express who they are and not who you think they should be. Because, you know, what good is it to be somebody's friend if you can only be their friend because they're doing what you want them to do? But I mean, they ain't your friend, y'all. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to understand people from their perspective and not be able to, you know, and be able to just understand it, not agree, but understand it. Like, listen, I have mad family members that did things like suffer from alcohol abuse. I didn't like it, but I still respected them. You know, as much as, you know, a lot of people out here look down on people for certain things that they go through. Listen, respect go a long way.
Right.
I promise you. Respect go longer than love, yo, when it really come down to it, yo. When you put a lot of respect, when you leave with respect, then I guess there's no other room for nobody else to misjudge you if you leave with respect, right?
I agree.
So perspective is important. Getting to understand other people's perspective. You know what else? That should be a love language. I know it's not. But perspective should be a love language. That's just me. I think adding into it. Because when you talking to people, that's one thing that people don't do. People don't get to know people to based on their allow them a perspective. Because what I noticed, you tell some people some shit about your life, they use it against you in a fucking argument. You're a bum, you know? Like, that's why I should have never told you. I should have never told you that I tried to dye my hair with peroxide. Like, yo, I told you I tried to.
Yo, I straight did use it against it.
That's yo, what I'm saying. So
people use it against you. You know what I'm saying?
I did that too.
What? You dye your hair with peroxide?
I was about to say no, ma'am.
Listen,
said something bad to somebody in the argument that they told me. I did that too. I did that one time.
You get what I'm saying?
I don't do it again. I will never do it again because I don't like what it did. But
exactly. The main reason why I think people do that is because when a person tells you something in that regard, people listen to it and they judge it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, okay. And then when something come up, they like, that's why you like this right now, because your mother didn't talk to you when you was two. You like, well, damn, I told you that. I told you that as part of what I'm healing from, not for you to act like, because I told you I'm healing. I ain't healed yet. You know what I mean? So that's what I mean, because people don't understand perspective in that regard. If a person say, yo, my mother didn't talk to me since I was two and I feel some type of way, will help you to understand, okay, so this person has a thing dealing with communication. So then now I know how to deal with them. I ain't going to keep repeating myself to you, fam. I already said it one time. I mean, yo, listen, we could break it down, but that's it. But that's because you get a perspective of this person. Now you ain't arguing with them.
Right.
Because now you know they got an issue with communication. I'm not about to argue with you. Hey, here it goes.
Facts.
You get what I'm saying? Now I know. But if I don't get perspective, I'm gonna argue with you and tell you, you know what?
That's why
you an asshole, because your great grandfather didn't let you hold his watch. And you mad. It's like, damn, yo, like, why you do that? Like, but that's why, because you ain't get perspective. So I think it should be a love language. It ain't gonna be everybody's, but
definitely not mine.
It should be one of them. Golly. Well, all right. So, I ain't going to ask you that. That's going to be for when we bring you back on so we can talk about the other book. We can't have you talking about domestic violence and then talk about love language at the same time. So, we're going to bring that back. All right.
Okay.
But no, before we go.
That's good.
Before we go, I do want to say this. I know we was bugging just a few seconds ago, but don't give it away, because we want people to watch it. We want people to get the book. We want people to do all that. But I think your movie ends in tragedy, right? So before we go, because we about to get out of here, I just want you to, you know, before we go, just let everybody know. You told them how to contact you. You told them, you know, a few other tidbits about Get Out. Don't be embarrassed. Don't feel like, you know, you know, all the little things you gave them, but I just want you to make sure you reiterate it one more time. When they watch this movie, the main thing you want them to get out of this is what? We want to make sure they drill this in, because like I said, you don't just have a typical movie where people are going through certain situations. It is tragedy at the end.
What I want
a whole nother level.
Is, number one, learning how to deal with rejection. That's the number one thing. Number two, stop being embarrassed. Speak up. It is not your fault. Tell us before it's too late. And number three, family members, if you know what's going on, say something. Get in front of it. Please speak. Don't allow it to go on, not even in your home. when you know what's you need to do something before something else happens that you cannot change.
There it is. And I just wanted to make sure that we reiterated that one more time, because as much as we may have been laughing, you know, taking things, it wasn't a light, you know, we just wanted to make sure that y'all know that we are, you know, we're sensitive to this issue and this subject, and that, you know, we want to make sure that we drill it in to make sure that you guys understand that based on the three key points that she just made, consider those, please. If you are a person that's going through that. You know, all right?
Yep.
All right. So with that being said, thank you to everybody. We know, so Meek and CJ, please let everybody know what's going on and what's coming up with y'all. We start with you, CJ. Look like Meek is trying to get herself together.
Shut up. You know, same old thing. Yeah, she all over the place. Same old, y'all. Go ahead and visit www.preview.career. If you sign up for the landing page, we'll be able to send you more information. Stay tuned, because we're still working on the website. We're still working on the partnerships. We're still working on everything being launched. Gotcha. We're still working with a bunch of launch camps and a bunch of grants trying to get more money to finish creating the AI system. So stay tuned. Again, www.preview.career, right there. Yeah, uh-huh. Landing page. We send you more information.
That's right. That's right. And remember, y'all, they're helping people with careers. It's a reason why that's in the name. So understand, yes. They're not trying to help y'all get into the call center. That's regular not a career. Job.
We talk about you know, whether it's trades. We talk about nurses. We talking about like actually, you know, getting back to. You know, working with our hands, doing something that we'll be able to create a business of your own from. It's like corporate espionage. Learn as much as you can so you'll be able to create your own. So, I mean, it is a lot. It's a lot. That's why I'll never go into detail. It's a lot. But, I mean, you know, again, sign up for the landing page. We'll be able to see more information.
But it's dope that sometimes, you know, people need to understand the difference between a job and a career. Ain't that wrong? Like, the platform that y'all creating is really important. I mean, it's really dope. And I know it's like, yo, it's coming. I'm telling people, like, yo, pay attention. Jump on the landing page. Get that information. Because, like I said, some of y'all that's in trade school right now or whatever, go ahead and jump on early. So as soon as they go live, you could be one of the first people that could jump on and possibly run through and get this career popping. Like we said, you know, the best way for us to get to that to freedom is financially. I mean, I understand people like to get money just to have and to hold, but we saying that the best way to get the freedom is using finances to get there.
Longevity.
Like, I don't want, you know what I mean? So financial freedom should be everyone's number one priority, y'all. But anyway, Meek, what's going on with you? Let them know what's popping.
What am I doing right now? I am also happy to meet you, Coach Erica, because I want to get together with a bunch of healers, bunch of coaches. I want to heal some women, and that's my passion. That's mostly what I work with. So I'm still working on that. I have a bunch of people who are interested and do different types of things like chakra and Reiki and, you know, all that magical power stuff. So I'm still working on getting that stuff together and creating a community, a tribe. So that's always been my goal, and that's still what I got popping off. Whose phone is that? Okay,
I'm scared. Disrespectful.
Also, yeah, I'm still just creating. I'm working on some digital planners for another coach. I do her printed planners for her clients currently, but some of them have been wanting something in a digital format. So, you know, I'm branching off, going in that direction. I've already played around with that. So trying to find some more people to kind of get that popping so that it's less resources on my end. So I don't have to print it and bind it. So,
That's dope. Yeah, it's dope. Everything is in there. Everything is in these things right here anyway. So, it's just another extension of your business. So, y'all make sure y'all check Meek out. Y'all know y'all could check CJ and Meek out on both of the pages, Team Collective TV and Collective Vision. Y'all see them in all the content. They mad funny. And, you know, so don't just go by the way that y'all see them on the podcast. Understand that they really put in the work, too. Outside of it, so y'all make sure y'all catch them on that. And then for those of y'all, remember the LLC luncheon is coming, y'all. It's look like this. I'm gonna push it up to the first quarter just because I want it to be so perfect. But I want everybody to know that if you're interested, and if you're not, if you need to know how to get your LLC for free and just have to pay your state fees, y'all know, hit me up, let me know. We're working on these masterminds so we can help people get funding. It's a whole bunch of clay that I've been learning. We've been putting it in the mix. So we just need you to make sure that you got your business official and we get you some funding out here so you can make some shit shake, man. And I mean, in a way where it's not just for you to have money in your pocket. Don't come to me if you just want to walk around here looking like something. Because trust me, like, I'm not going to tell nobody something that I'm not doing myself personally. Just one thing y'all should never do, never judge the book by its cover. For all of y'all, until you reach to the point where you could buy 4 or 5 of what you want, you got a 9 to 5 keeping. Let people think you're walking around there that's your only source of income. That's okay. Perception is the number one rule to keeping people out your business. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. Everybody don't need to know everything you're doing, yo. Word is bond. I just want to say that. That's what the timeline is for. Pay attention to that. Get out of my face. So look, y'all know that. So all of y'all, make sure y'all do that. Also, be on the lookout for American Ninja Warrior tryouts. I'm definitely jumping on.
No.
And I will make that. Y'all, don't be a hater. You know, my team is haters. But just remember that, yo, you a ninja. Believe in yourself, yo. Don't let your friends tell you that you can't be a ninja. Yo, word up. No matter how old you are, no matter what, yo. Just make sure that you do what you do, yo. Don't be afraid to be a ninja. All right? So we about to get out of here. And all of y'all out there, like I said to y'all, man, before, man, with all the ladies that's up here, make sure y'all check them out. Coach, again, thank you for jumping on.
Thank y'all for having me.
Word, nah, thank you for coming on, man. Word, and being a good sport, yo, and not, you know what I'm saying, and letting the world know how you really feel about the issues that you support. So I think it's super dope, yo, word up. All right, y'all. So listen, y'all hang on, y'all don't hang up, but to the people that's watching, don't forget, if y'all new to the channel, go ahead and subscribe and catch the alerts for whenever we drop. Every Tuesday we go live and we pop shit, yo, so y'all know what we do. So just come check us out, man. Like I said all the time, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will, yo, all right? So until next time, y'all, peace.